3, 2, 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. I hope that you and your families are all well, and that you're not finding this time of lockdown and physical isolation too stressful and dispiriting. While we still cannot completely gather together physically, through worshipping God, we are gathering together spiritually. And I hope that this service will offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and in the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. Today we are going to celebrate communion together while apart, recognising that Christ is still with us individually and as a community. No matter how much we may be physically separated from each other, Christ will still be present to all of us in the bread and the wine. However, if you don't want to partake in communion while we're physically separated, that is quite all right. This communion service is an invitation only. Please don't feel any pressure to accept it. But if you do want to share in the communion and you haven't already done so, please pause this recording and go to find a small piece of bread, enough for everyone in your household who wants to participate, and some grape juice or some wine or water. If you don't have grape juice or wine, it is appropriate to use water to celebrate, remembering Jesus' gift to us of living water, gushing up to eternal life. The call to worship today is based on the day's psalm, Psalm 66. Let us tell everyone who honours and respects God what God has done for us. We cried out loud to God and acknowledged God's goodness. If we had hung on to evil ideas, God would have ignored us. But God listened to us and took note of all we asked. Together, let us honour and praise the God who does not turn a deaf ear to us, the God who loves us with a rock-solid love.
See you.
Let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. Loving God, you have created an astounding world, a world of majestic natural beauty that overwhelms us, a world populated by your rainbow people, people of every gender and sexuality and colour and culture and language and age and ability. In Jesus, you came and lived among us to show us what it means to love and be loved, to be our peace, to break down the walls that divide us from each other and from you. Your Spirit guides us each day, reassuring us that we are your beloved children, helping us to care for your good creation, leading us further on the journey towards the day when your kingdom will come and your will be done. Loving God, forgive us when we do not live as your beloved children. We confess that while you break walls down, we build them up. We confess that even those of us who have been clothed with Christ have been guilty of rejecting our sisters and brothers. We confess that there have been times when we have judged others on the basis of their ability, race, nationality, sexuality, gender, or socioeconomic status. Loving God, forgive us. Help us to repent, turn away from evil, and turn towards you. Remind us that every single person in the world, whatever their gender or sexuality, or colour or culture or language, or age or ability, is your beloved child, and that without every single one of us, your rainbow shines less bright. Give us strength and courage to work together to overcome hatred and violence, and to show the love for each other that you show us. Creator, Christ, Holy Spirit, be with us, with the victims of violence throughout the world, and with all those in any sort of need, today and always. Amen. You are the beloved children of God. You are clothed with Christ. You are one in Jesus. Sisters and brothers, your sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The Bible reading today comes from the book of Acts, from chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. The picture book this week is Wide Big World by Maxine Benaber Clark, illustrated by Isabel Knowles. On Tuesday at kinder, under the mulberry tree, Izzy Jones stared over at me. "You're brown, Belle," she said, her eyes big saucer wide. I said, "Yeah, I am," and I flashed her a smile. Mr. J said, "Izzy, I'm hairy and tall." Your baby brother's cute, chubby, and bald. My friend Tin said, "Belle's eyes are stormy sea green. The sun's red, hot, brilliant. The rain's cool and clean." Then I said, "Difference is everywhere. Just look and see. Is this whole wide, big world is wondrous unique?" Mr. J laughed. "Nature's smart and wonderfully wild. She sprinkles her sparkle into every child." That day at kinder, under the mulberry tree, Izzy Jones smiled back at me. "Clever, Belle," she said. "Mama Nature is wild, and the sun's burning brilliant, and the world is big wide, and difference is everywhere, wondrous, unique." And we stood there looking, Izzy and me. The end. I seem to have accidentally started a series of reflections on the sermons in the book of Acts. Because 2 weeks ago, we had the aftermath of Peter's sermon after Pentecost, when 3,000 people were converted, baptized, and began to share all things in common. And then last week, we saw the end of Stephen's sermon preached to the Jewish council, which was that Stephen was dragged out and stoned. And then this week, we have a third and very different sermon preached by the Apostle Paul in Athens. Paul has a reputation as a hardliner, but here we see him speaking to the Athenians with gentleness and reverence. Paul is in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him. And Luke tells us that when he was there, he was deeply distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Paul followed his usual practice in a new city of going to the synagogue to preach and to argue, and of proclaiming his message in the marketplace. So some people who heard this described him as a babbler, and others thought that he was proclaiming a new foreign god that he wanted the Athenians to add to their huge pantheon. And so they bring him to the Areopagus to ask him about this new teaching. Luke tells us, "Now all the Athenians and the foreigners living there would spend their time in nothing but telling or hearing something new." And Paul definitely has something new to say. Paul now has the chance to explain to some of the most intelligent and well-educated pagans in the Roman Empire what it is that he's proclaiming. And it's notable that he doesn't quote from the Hebrew Scriptures. We know, because Luke told us, that Paul was actually deeply distressed to see the city full of idols, but he didn't smash them when he saw them. And now he doesn't directly condemn them. Instead, he takes the most respectful possible view of idol worship as a sign that people are actually seeking the divine, and he draws on it when he talks about them being extremely religious in every way, worshipping an unknown God, and him now proclaiming that unknown God. Paul then makes an argument from natural theology, from the world around the Athenians, from what everyone can see, and he claims kinship with them, because from one ancestor God made all nations to inhabit the whole earth. So Paul is saying that he and they are siblings. And finally, he quotes from the Athenians' own poets and philosophers when he quotes that in him we live and move and have our being, and for we too are his offspring. And it's only after taking the Athenians down this path of kinship and natural theology and their own practices and their own poets and philosophers, It's only after all that that Paul then talks about revelation and about the resurrection of the dead. Once Paul starts talking about the resurrection of the dead, he loses some of his audience. Some of them scoff, but others say, "We will hear you again about this." And some people do join Paul, including Dionysius, who was a member of the Areopagus, and a woman named Damaris. Paul's intelligent, respectful, gentle, and reverent preaching doesn't win large crowds, but it does win a small group. Today we live in a society which is pretty much the same as that of first century Athens in so many ways. Christianity is now again in the West a small faith within a largely indifferent and sometimes hostile world. We live in a world in which people have the option of following one or more gods from an almost unlimited pantheon. Although in our world, the things that are small g gods can include things that are good in themselves, but not good as objects of worship. Things like the family and individuality and wealth and health and even science and the environment. And like the Athenians, we live in a world absolutely obsessed with the new and very dismissive of the traditional. Like Paul at the Areopagus, when we speak about our faith, the most likely response is not a riot or imprisonment, but mockery and indifference. We are very unlikely to convert 3,000 people at a time, like Peter. And possibly lucky for us, we are very unlikely to be killed for our faith, like Stephen. But possibly like Paul here, we might convince a very small group of people, few people, of the value of what we're saying. In the basis of union, every member of the Uniting Church is commissioned to confess the faith of Christ crucified. And Paul's speech at the Areopagus models for us how to do that. We need to start by meeting people where they are, by entering into their lives and practices. Rather than condemning them, we need to make links between their faith and our own. And most importantly, we must do all this, as Peter says in this week's epistle reading, with gentleness and reverence, because sharing news of the God who is love must always be done with love. The end. Let us bring our prayers for the world to God. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need today. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those working in the community through this crisis. All the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, and those who must find new ways of working from home. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, for whom self-isolation is almost impossible. And for those whose homes are not safe places and who are facing domestic violence during this time. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton, and all those who must make the difficult decisions to keep us safe. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are the body of Christ. In one spirit, we were all baptized into the one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. This is the joyful feast of Jesus, bread for beloved children, a meal for those expecting scraps, and a banquet for last-minute guests. Everyone is welcome at this table, and whether you choose to eat the bread and drink the wine now, or to wait, abstaining from communion until we can all gather together again, you are equally part of the body of Christ. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right to give you our thanks and praise, O God, and to bring our gifts into your house in gratitude for the constant love you have pledged to us. The world and everything in it was made by you. Life and breath are your gifts to all mortal things, and in you we live and move and have our being. Everywhere and always you have been within our reach and have inspired us to search for you. In Jesus the Christ you have shown yourself to us, the unknowable revealed in the known. He was rejected and put to death in the flesh, but you raised him from the dead and gave him life in the spirit. Through his resurrection you have raised us from the saving waters, and now your blessing abides with us even in suffering. And your Spirit assures us of your coming justice. And so we praise you, living God, singing our song with angels and saints and Christians everywhere. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We bless you, Sovereign God, ruler of the universe, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the night of his betrayal took bread, gave you thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it for the remembrance of me." With this bread and this cup, we do as our Saviour commands. We celebrate the redemption he has won for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out the Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Make us one with him, one with each other, and one in ministry in the world, until at last we feast with him in the kingdom. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, in your holy church, all honour and glory are yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. And together we pray as our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ is the bread of joy who shares food with sinners. Christ is the cup of life who revives the faint-hearted. Let us receive what we are. Let us become what we receive, the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ poured out for us. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for gathering us together, even when we cannot meet, and for feeding us today. Thank you for making us part of your church, able with all your faithful friends to share your story and this meal. Amen. Fed at this table, go to feed the hungry. As you have been set free, go to free the imprisoned. As you have received, give. As you have heard, proclaim. And the blessing which you have received from Creator, Son, and Spirit go with you, now and always. Amen.